morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have some special visitors here with me this week, and they're right behind you. That's my mom and my dad. And they have come here all the way from Florida, kind of near Disney World. Not right next to Disney World, but kind of close. Has anyone been to Disney World? Have you been? Good. Anybody else? Was it fun? So Disneyland, which is even farther away, right? Yeah. Now, has anyone traveled to visit either maybe a relative or someplace that's fun that is far away? Who's traveled far away? Like farther than New Jersey? Right? Mia, you've traveled where? To Florida. Cleo. To Quebec. My goodness. Has anyone, here's another question. Anton, where have you traveled?
Montana
is pretty far away. So these are places that maybe some of you have gone to that's far away. Here's another question. Have you had people visit you who have come from a place that's far away? Like, anyone have a grandparent in Worcester, right? Or over the Atlantic Ocean? Poland? Cleo? From Pennsylvania. That's a long way away, especially when you drive through the middle of Pennsylvania. That takes forever. That's a big state. Emmy. And from Florida, we have your grandparents here from Florida. Now, when somebody important comes to visit, especially if they've come from a long way away and they don't come very frequently, what I want to ask you to think about is what are some of the things that you do to get ready? First of all, do you leave your clothes on the floor? No. Your mom and dad leave dishes lying around in the sink and junk all over the place? What do? You clean up. Okay, you want things to look as best as you can make them look. Right? What are some other things that you might do when someone's traveling from far away? Mia. You might get a guest room ready, a place for them to stay and be comfortable. Cleo. You can set the table. You can be an extra big help to your own parents who are probably doing a lot of extra things to get ready to. And finally, Emmy. You might even put on some really nice clothes, right? Some special clothes that you haven't put on in a long time. Good. Now, this might sound like it's not related, but I got a question about December the 25th. Does anybody know what happens on December the 25th? It's not Election Day, although that's this week. Election Day is this week, so the grown-ups should not forget that. So this is November, and it's the beginning, but December the 25th? It's Christmas, right? Christmas Day, December the 25th, is actually something that we're going to think a little bit about today. What I want to ask you to do is think about how do we get ready for Christmas?
Put decorations.
We put up decorations. Christmas tree. Mia. Stockings. Presents. Anton, what do you do to get ready for Christmas? There are toys in your house? Not my house, right?
Ornaments.
We hope we get some nice and ornaments. So these are some of the things that at home, Mia, is there another thing you'd like to add? Well, in our house, we do get rid of old toys to make room for new toys, but I don't know if everybody does that. I think that's a good idea. So we make, and that's a good way to prepare. We take out what is old and not needed anymore to make room for something that's new and that we do need. Well, here's something that happens. You know, at home you get ready for Christmas because we are receiving at home on Christmas Jesus, right? The Son of God who was born to Mary on Christmas Day. But you know what? We get ready in church too. In the church, we get ready to celebrate that particular day. And you know how long it takes us to prepare in church? How long we spend getting ready for Christmas? Take a wild guess. How long, Duncan?
Like the day on tonight.
So like the day and the night before? We actually have very special services that we do, but actually we prepare for even longer than that, Mia.
40 days.
40 days! We prepare for 40. Can you imagine cleaning your room for 40 days in a row, like cleaning your room like your grandparents are coming? We do that in the church. We spend 40 days getting ready. Now, there's a word for that. So in our church, the 40 days is called the Nativity Fast. And there's another word that you hear sometimes called Advent. Advent is a word in the church that refers to this period of getting ready to receive this special visitor, Jesus, on Christmas Day. But I tell you something, I don't really like the word Advent. So what I want to do this morning is teach you a new word. Okay, you ready? You didn't know you were going to come and learn something today, did you? So Advent, this period of preparation, it means arrival. And during Advent, we wait for the arrival of Jesus. But there's so much more that we do. So here's your new word. First, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the name of the first book of the Bible? With the Adam and Eve story, do you know what book of the Bible that occurs in? Does anybody know, Mia?
Genesis.
So that's the name of the very first book of the Bible. I know that in church school, a lot of you are reading stories about the heroes of our faith there in Genesis. Now, some of you may even know how the book of Genesis begins. It begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," right? But here's a harder question. In the beginning of Genesis, what are the first words that we hear somebody speak? The first words that are written down that come out of somebody's mouth, right? Now, I'll give you a hint. They come out of God's mouth, right? Emmy, do you know what those first words are that God speaks? He speaks, "Let there be light," the very beginning of creation. Let there be light, okay? So the first book of the Bible is Genesis. The first words that we hear God speak is, "Let there be light." Now, here's a tough question that I don't think any of the adults know. Well, I'll give you an easy one first. What is the last book of the Bible? What is the name of the very last book in the New Testament? Actually, do any adults know that one? It's the one book that we never read in church as part of any service. It's the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse of St. John. Now, I'm almost willing to bet a month's salary on the next question, unless you're a Baptist. If "let there be light" are the very first words we ever hear spoken in the Bible, what are the last words we ever hear anybody speak in the Bible? I'd owe you a lot of money if you get it right. What is it, Duncan? I don't know. Okay. It's actually kind of simple, but I'll tell you what the answer is, okay? The very last words that somebody speaks before the very end is, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Very simple. "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." In the language that Jesus spoke, and here's the word that I'm going to teach you, it's Maranatha. Can you say that? Maranatha. That's the language that Jesus spoke with his disciples. And that means, "Come quickly, come quickly." And so the end of that book, the very end of the Bible, is someone saying, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come to us. We're waiting for you," right? We're waiting for you. A long time ago, during Jesus' time, when the apostles were still around after Jesus went back to heaven, the beginning of the church, it was not an easy time. And the early Christians, you and me and those that followed Jesus, they were oftentimes not treated very well by both the government, but also by some of the other local religious folks. And so this is what they would do. When they would meet each other on the street, they wouldn't say, "Good morning, how are you doing? Nice to see you. You know, what's up?" That's not how they greeted one another. The early Christians, when they would greet each other on the street, they would say, "Maranatha." That's the way that they would greet one another. They would say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." That was always on their mind and always in their heart because they were constantly preparing to receive the Lord, which is exactly what we are going to be doing in these 40 days before Christmas. All right. So we can use this word. I want you to repeat it after me again. Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Maranatha means, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." We can use that as a prayer during these 40 days before Christmas. So I know that you say your prayers in the morning. You might say your prayers at other times of the day. Maybe when you say the Our Father, whatever you say for your prayers, you can end by saying, "Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus." And it's a way to prepare our minds and our hearts for December the 25th. But there's more, okay? You have a job to do. When we say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus, we don't just sit still. We don't just sit and do nothing and wait for Jesus to come. We're hopeful that he comes to us. But here's your job. How many of you heard the gospel reading this morning that the deacon just finished reading? Okay? It was about two people. The first one was a man named Jairus. And Jairus had a daughter. You know what was wrong with the daughter? You remember any time what was wrong with the daughter? There was a daughter of a man named Jairus today. And she was... what? Emmy. She was dying. She was dying. But there was another woman, and she had been sick for 12 long years. The gospel says that she spent all of her money on doctors, and she didn't know what to do. But here's what happened. Jairus, whose daughter was dying, the woman who had been sick for 12 years, heard that Jesus was coming. Right? He was coming. He was coming. In fact, they knew where he was going to be. And so what do? Did they just sit there? They kind of throw a pity party and say, I'm poor me. Why won't Jesus come here? He's so close. Why doesn't he come to my house? Do they do that? No. What did they do in the story? Do you remember? What did the woman do? The woman, there's this big crowd around Jesus. She can't get through. So what does she do? You know? Emmy. She does everything that she can to push through that crowd to touch even just the very bottom of Jesus' robes. And Jairus, who hears that Jesus is coming to town, Jairus sends a messenger and says, Master, come to my house. Heal my daughter. She's sick. That's what they do. When they hear that Jesus is coming, they are ready to go and to meet him. That's our job. Our job is to go and to meet our Lord. Not just to say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but to actually be ready so that when he is near, we go and we get him. Just like the woman ran to touch the bottom of the Lord's robes. Okay, now when you walk out the doors today, and you walk out on the street and you walk down to the parking lot to your car, are you going to see Jesus walking by most likely?
No.
You're probably not going to see him walking down the street the way Jairus knew he was walking down the street, and the way that the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years was walking down the street. So I got a really hard question for you, and this is what we're going to end with. Where can we find Jesus? What are some of the places where, even if we don't see him walking down the street, we know he's there? Theo.
In heaven.
We know he's in heaven on the right side of his Father, right? And he hears things, right? What else?
He's
within us. Christ is in our midst. He is and always shall be. And what are some ways that we can go and actually meet him? That we can run to where he is? Mia. In church? What else? Emmy. In the icons that are in the church? And there's a variety of ways, but let me give you three. Okay? I'll give you three. These are ways that we can get ready, not just by preparing our hearts and our minds to receive the Lord, but to actually go and grab him when he's nearby. We find Jesus in his words. The words of the Bible. Those words that are written down in the gospel that our deacon read, that we have in our Bibles at home, those are not just kind of nice stories. Those are words directly to you and to me from our Lord himself. So when we pray, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus, we should be like the sick woman. Or we should be like Jairus. And we should run to the Bible, read his words to us, and know that that is a way that we can run and touch those garments. So he's in his words, right? He's also in prayer. So Cleo said that Jesus is in heaven. We know that he sits on the right hand of the Father and he hears our prayers. That's another way that we go and we find Jesus and we grab him, right? We grab his garments, hoping for the same healing that he received, okay? So when you pray, know that Jesus, his Father, and his Holy Spirit love to hear and receive those words. That's a way that we can go and grab him. And then finally, as Mia said, we also find Jesus right where we are today, right here in church. Every Sunday, every feast day, every chance we get, we should shout, "Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus," and then come quickly here, every chance that we get, no matter what else is going on in life. This is the place where we always get ready to meet Jesus. So I'm very glad that you let me spend this time with you this morning, and I really look forward to preparing for Christmas with all of you. And that starts in 11 days. You can go sit down now. Amen.